Okay, we are in heavenly places, page 353. And the title is, of course, Victory Over Death, and it's for December 12th, which is today. Starts off with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, and it says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen and amen. And Luke 24:36 says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you." Now, here we have before us the precious evidence that Christ is a living Savior. A little while before, he was enclosed in Joseph's new tomb. You know, Joseph from Arimathea. But he had burst the bands of death and walked forth a triumphant conqueror. The angel of God said, "He is risen." Wonderful testimony. The hope of the world. Christ had risen, and their Savior was a risen Savior. And this is one of the reasons that Christianity is so hated today, is because the devil knows he lost 2,000 years ago. And so he's doing all he can. You know, misery, you know, we all know misery loves company. He doesn't want to burn alone. And it's just so sad. There's so many people that really want to join him in the fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And what's prepared for mankind? Mansions in New Jerusalem. But they choose fire instead? That's weird. But, you know, especially with the rich folks down here, and that's another thing that I don't understand. It says, okay, if you ever really did at least read the Bible one time and say you're a multi-billionaire, even if you, like some of these guys that they don't even tell you how much money they have. Sure, you got guys out there that like Bill Gates, they say he's the richest man in the world. He's a pauper compared to some of these guys. They won't tell the world how much money they have because it's scary huge. These guys are trillionaires. And they're the ones that are more or less running a lot of the stuff, you know, via the Vatican. You know, like the Vatican itself. I mean, the Pope is the richest man on the planet. Or his organization, let's just say. I mean, just the artwork alone. The artwork, that's why you never see him in the who's who's or the amount. They don't really, they can't even fathom how much money is involved in that building. You know, you got, you know, the gold leaf on all the artwork that's on the walls itself. That's bad enough. And then you got all the marble and the granite stone and then the ancient statues that, you know, some of the artwork there, and it's all vulgar. You got naked guys all over the place in that place, and women. It shows you the paganism. It's all about the flesh. But then you got these paintings on the walls that are, oh man. So, but yeah, no, none of the angels, they've had their chance. It's what's called, like with the angelic, that they're reprobate. There are men and women that walk this earth now that are reprobate too. They have no chance. They've made the decision. They're going to die and die eternally. But they did have a chance. They did definitely have a chance. So anyway, she goes on to say that Christ had obtained the victory, and although man had fallen and was condemned to death, yet he could live again. Those who sleep in Jesus will be called from their prison house to a glorious immortality. He has risen, dear friends, and in your despondency you may know that Jesus is by your side to give you peace. I know what I'm talking about. It's amazing she's saying like this. She's talking like this. And he goes on and says, "I know what I'm talking about. I've seen the time when I thought the waves were going over my head. In that time I felt my Savior precious to me. When my eldest son was taken from me, I felt my grief was very great. But Jesus came to my side, and I felt his peace in my soul. The cup of consolation was placed to my lips." That can't be an easy thing to go through, you know, a parent losing a child, you know. But it's a lot easier for a Christian parent to lose a Christian child, because the Christian parent knows they're going to see that kid again, and they know they're just sleeping. And they know, even though, let's say, the kid suffered or something like that before death, they know the suffering's over. The kid doesn't even know he's dead, or she doesn't know she's dead. They just don't know. Because death is truly a dreamless sleep. We all understand the state of the dead, of course, but if anybody here is new and has never investigating what actually happens when you die, you might want to check out some videos I got on the website in that respect. Or a study, too. There's a page in the Bible Truths section. I think it's in the meaty section. Anyway, she goes on to say that, and then he who had stood by my cell, by my side for 36 years was taken. We had labored, and that's, of course, talking about her husband, James. We had labored together side by side in the ministry, but we had to fold the hands of the warrior and lay him down to rest in the silent grave. Again, my grief seemed very great. But after all came the cup of consolation. Jesus is precious to me. He walked by my side, and he will walk by your side. And most of us here understand that, but there's still some young Christians that have a hard time wrapping their brain around that. And for years, it took me literally years before I got to the realization of what he meant by, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth you, but I giveth you, you know. I always try to figure out, what is he talking about there? And then I even though, like the first day I met him, and I experienced that peace, and I really experienced it, like all those things that used to bother me in my past that I was trying to get away from and change my life, changed that very second when I met him. But I didn't put the two and two together when it came to the peace until much later, like, you know, maybe 5 years later in my Christian walk. And it started really making sense to me, and it made it easier to become closer to him, knowing this is okay. What I'm headed for here, Lord, is a little scary. I got to go through this. I got to do that. I got to do this. But you know, I know you're going to be there with me, and please help me get through this, because I know 1 Corinthians 10:13 says you're not going to let anything happen I can't handle anyway. So I go through it, and it seems so much easier because he really calms you down. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you grieve. I mean, I lost both my parents in the course of the last 3 years. That ain't easy. And, but without Jesus, oh, it'd been bad. You know, I could think. I remember losing friends when I was a teenager. And, yeah, I looked at it differently back then, of course. I thought, oh, you're in heaven now or something. Like, yeah, we really didn't know. We were all Catholic, you know. So I really didn't understand it. But when I became a young Christian, I still didn't know the truth about the state of the dead, but I did start to realize some of the people that I know that were dying, they weren't ready to die. That tore me up the most. You know, this is why I worry, and, well, I don't say I worry, but I have concerns for some people that I love that I know aren't ready to die. And the way today's world is, you got to be ready to die every split second. And I understand the Lord allows for, you know, the hedge of angels, and he'll protect us. But there are times that, you know, because we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when he's going to say, okay, this is the day you got to go to sleep. I've given you every opportunity that you ever can possibly have in life. And tomorrow, let's say at 12 noon, some drunk's going to go across the double yellow line, and you're going to go to sleep. And will you be ready? It's really scary. So finishing it up, she says, when our friends go into the grave, they are beautiful to us. It may be our father or mother that we lay away. When they come forth, those wrinkles are all gone. But the figure is there, and we know them. We want to be prepared to meet these dear friends as they come forth in the resurrection morning. Shall we lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel that we shall be like him? For we shall see him as he is. Amen. Amen and amen.